Listening Library presents The Trilogy of Two by Juman Malouf, read for you by Jane Entwistle. Prologue, Rain City. It was a black night, and thunder growled over the peaks and pillars of Rain City. It had not stopped raining in years. Countless drops scored pits and holes all across the purple brick facades of the million-mile-high buildings. Pale-faced people in hooded raincoats pedaled carriages along a network of steel tracks. Down at the bottom of the city, makeshift houses sat on bricks stacked like stilts above the flooded streets. The sound of shoes clipping against the wet cobblestones woke a beggar man, and he scrambled out of his tent. He crouched, the ends of his tattered jacket dipping into the water, and held out his hand.
"Something for the needy," he croaked.
A pair of perfect black and white patent leather pumps came to a stop in front of him.
"Good evening, my humble gentleman," a voice replied. "Would you be so kind as to point us in the direction of the school for the gifted?"
The beggar man looked up to see a tall figure in a black suit, a coat slung over his shoulders, and a brimmed hat tilted over one eye. A white Persian cat slunk around his feet, arched its back, and hissed.
"It's the next street over, my lord, Bishop's Row. But for a coin, I could show you to Mistress Quickly's."
The beggar man wiped the rain from his brow with the back of his sleeve.
"Real women with perfumed faces."
"Perhaps another time," the man said, taking a snort from a diamond-encrusted snuff box. "Tonight, the voices of youth beckon me."
He flipped a large metal coin into the air, and before the beggar man could catch it, the tall figure was briskly on his way, something sweeping behind him like a long, rippling cape. The beggar man fumbled in his jacket for a pair of cracked glasses and pressed them to his eyes. The cape looked to be a creature with 100 heads, wet cats, dozens of them, spitting and snarling, clambered after the mysterious man as he turned the corner onto Bishop's Row. Book 1. Chapter 1. The Outskirts. A mile from the city, two small figures crouched atop a massive pile of assorted junk. Their hazel eyes darted as they rummaged feverishly among rusty cans, old toys, crushed boxes, crumpled cartons, and broken bits of who knows what. A soft rain drizzled. Sirens blared in the distance. Humming lamps shone on the figures. Identical twins with the same shoulder-length brown hair, the same long, lanky limbs, and the same ill-fitting red raincoats. Their names were Charlotte and Sonia, and the only way to tell them apart was the mole above Charlotte's right cheek.
"We'd better go," Sonia said impatiently. "It's getting late."
"Just a minute longer," begged Charlotte.
She picked up a miniature plastic arm and shoved it into a bag strapped over her shoulder. What she really wanted was a very simple thing, a piece of wood. But a spare piece of wood was an extremely rare thing in the outskirts, or anywhere else for that matter.
"I don't want to run into any enforcers this time," insisted Sonia.
Charlotte shrugged.
"They never catch us. One day they will, and we'll be thrown into some juvenile prison filled with scrummagers and other troublemakers."
"Will you relax?"
Sometimes Charlotte wondered how they could be sisters at all. Sonia had no guts. A flashlight's beam raked across the hills of trash. Charlotte froze.
"An enforcer," whispered Sonia.
A figure in a black slicker and rain goggles appeared on the wet asphalt below. He wore an armband with a lightning bolt emblazoned across it.
"I see you, scrummagers," he yelled. "This is city property."
"Come on,"
cried Sonia, grabbing Charlotte's arm. Charlotte did not budge. Something else had caught her eye. From a mass of smashed tiles and scrap metal, she snatched up a broken but solid oak table leg. She held up the piece of lumber, beaming.
"Bingo!"
Sonia pulled Charlotte with a firm jerk. They slid to the ground, ran between the piles of junk, and slipped through a narrow gap in the fence. The enforcer blew three short, sharp whistles and charged after them out of the yard. The twins flew down the empty street, past more junkyards and trash heaps. Rain City loomed in the distance. Many years before the girls were born, as the populations of the world's cities grew to unprecedented sizes, an edict had been passed, and all the city's borders were walled and gated. The surrounding towns and villages were bulldozed to use as dumping grounds for the city's ever-growing waste. And now millions of homeless people, known as outskirters, lived in the garbage, strictly patrolled and controlled by armies of enforcers. This was the world Charlotte and Sonia had been born into. As the girls ran, another enforcer emerged from the shadows and took off after them. Charlotte's heart raced. She struggled for breath. Charlotte only pretended not to be scared of enforcers. She had seen them do terrible things. Maybe she had finally pushed too hard and gone too far. She had coaxed her sister into sneaking into forbidden junkyards closest to the city, off limits and extra risky.
"This way," yelled Sonia.
Charlotte hurried after her sister, but as they rounded the corner, she saw a band of scruffy boys in smashed bowlers and tattered suits.
"Looky ducky," announced a boy with a rat on his shoulder. "Little ducklings."
"Those is them circus freaks," yelled another, squinting in the rain.
The scrummagers began to slowly circle the twins, swaying and sniggering. Charlotte turned to Sonia and smiled. She knew they would certainly escape now. A handful of enforcers came clambering around the corner. One of the scrummagers shouted, "Coppers!" And the gang scattered in every direction, the enforcers chasing after them. The twins dashed away and hid under an overturned incinerator. They waited, trembling, as the goggled men with clunky batons chased the ragged boys. A minute later, the street was quiet. Sonia peered through metal slats.
"All clear," she whispered.
Charlotte crawled out after her sister.
"I'm sorry," she muttered. "You nearly got us caught again."
"But we weren't, were we?
And look what I found."
Charlotte held up the table leg.
"It was worth it, wasn't it?"
Sonia tried not to smile.
"If it wasn't for those scrummagers, we'd be locked in the back of a van right now on our way to prison."
"I hope they got away."
"I hope they didn't."
Charlotte never could understand why Sonia hated scrummagers so much. They were orphans, just like them. Before she could respond, an air horn blasted. 10 o'clock. They were late again. Chapter 2. Identical Twins. The twins hurried through the gates of a neglected cemetery. Half a dozen small booths had been assembled outside a large circus tent, pitched among the crumbling gravestones. Posters advertised, "Dunk a clown," "Ride a striped pony," "Kiss a bearded woman." Strings of coloured lights crisscrossed overhead. A hand-painted sign read, "Pershing Crumb's Travelling Circus." Sonia sighed with relief. They were home.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?